Can we sing hymn number 207? Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. I see we have a guest today of Tony and Barb, and also, what was her name?
Aria.
Yeah. Thank you. Do we have any greetings?
Greetings from Mass Saint Divine.
Thank you. Yeah. That's her greetings. So from the announcements, the October calendar is out. It's in the orange and it's on the table in the hall. Today, the monthly mission focus, we're going to have the Operation Christmas Child, and we have a lot of stuff out there already. And I think we've got a couple boxes. I don't know if we have enough that... But it looks like we can do that. And then later in November, we're going to bring that to be mailed out. Today is afternoon prayer meeting. Then the food pantry collection is next Sunday, October 12th. The upcoming events are in... Next week is Skyline Drive in Richmond, Virginia. The elders' meeting is in Phoenix, October 17th. Our Wednesday night Bible study is continuing in Philippians. We're up to chapter 3. I got an email from Mike Smith that he had gone to this appointment that he had for such a long time to the doctor. And the doctor, he only saw the doctor for 5 minutes, but the doctor told him to go to rehab. And he called up the rehab place, and nobody answered. So he's still waiting for a date for that. Are there any other announcements? If not... please pray for Brother Harry as he would have the service. And could we sing from hymn number 165?
Thank you. Good morning. Let's bow to pray. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts that we have been in this place as we've looked at how King Asa was such a good king when he started out listening to you lead him. May we also be the same, to listen to you as you lead us. And may we be faithful through all of our days. And we can only be faithful because of who you are. May we be submissive to you. May we listen to your spirit. May we always be a child in your sight to just follow your leading. We thank you now for this time here with us, that you would open your word and teach us from it. And we look at the quote-unquote stories from the Old Testament. It's not just stories, but true events of how you worked in the lives of others and that you can still work in the lives of people today. Help us to be willing servants of yours. And we pray this, Lord Jesus, all in your holy name. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're continuing our series here in Naaman. So 2 Kings chapter 5, I'll read the first 19 verses. Now Naaman, captain of the host of king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abner and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great things, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. So in August, we looked at the little maid, as she's described in verses 2 and 3. She was probably 8 to 12 years old, and she was abducted from her family in Israel. She became a servant, a slave, to Mrs. Naaman. But like Joseph, the son of Jacob, she did not allow her circumstances to dictate her attitude. And we are called to the same standard. In Philippians chapter 4, 11 to 13, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." We should not allow our circumstances to dictate how we live our lives here. Little Maid was aware of Naaman's leprosy. And based on verse 11, it was probably not a very large outbreak of leprosy. A spot on his arm, a spot on his face, we don't know. But we also know that Little Maid knew about Elisha. She knew that he was a prophet. And she knew that Elisha could perform miracles. Even, she was convinced that he could even cure Naaman's leprosy, even though there's no record of Naaman ever curing someone's leprosy before. She was planning on a miracle there. Somehow, this little maid had the faith, courage, and hope to say to Mrs. Naaman in verse 3, "Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." That's a statement of hope and faith. It's not that he may cure, he will cure him of his leprosy. She was convinced that Elisha could do that. She had such hope in the Lord and that Elisha could perform that miracle. What's interesting is that at such a young age, she had more hope than the king of Israel. When Naaman arrived in Samaria to the king of Israel, when he heard that letter, he tore his clothing. He was flabbergasted by what that letter said. And the king of Israel didn't think that there was Elisha in the prophet just down the road. That never came to his mind. It was Elisha who heard that the king had tore his clothes that said, "Bring Naaman to me. I'll take care of this." So where is our hope? Our hope must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the gospel writer, the hymn writer said, "I meet with you and my soul sings out, as your word throws doubt far away. I sing to you and my heart cries holy, hallelujah, Father, you're near. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you, and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, you show me grace. I worship you, and my heart cries glory. Hallelujah, Father, you're here. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. The peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. Then in September, we started looking at Naaman. He was the commander of the Syrian army. He was a mighty man in valor. He had earned his reputation of being great, but he was also a leper. And based on Little Maid's encouragement, Naaman ends up at Elisha's house in Samaria. And Elisha's servant comes out and tells Naaman, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And the Jordan was like a day's journey, 20 miles away from Samaria. Naaman had to swallow his pride, humble himself, and trust and obey and follow what Elisha's servant told him to do. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Naaman had to be humble. We also need to be humble and trust and obey when we don't understand why things are the way they are. Another hymn writer said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and when he did, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And we know that our Lord will never fail. So Naaman is obedient and washes in the Jordan 7 times. And after the seventh time, his flesh comes out clean. No more leprosy. And I'm confident, the scripture doesn't tell us that, that Naaman is overjoyed. And on his 20-mile trip back to Samaria, he probably has a spring in his step. He is a different man, and his opinion of Israel has changed. But also, just so we see the full impact of this, in return to the man of God, he and all his company. It wasn't like Naaman came and a couple of guys with him. We know that he brought all of the items specified in verse 5, probably 800 pounds of things. And when you think about it, he was bringing all of this gold and silver and stuff along. What would stop somebody from, a raid of other people come along and, kill them and take all the stuff? They probably had a contingent of soldiers with him to protect all this stuff and protect Naaman too. And then when you think about it, they couldn't just stop at a Holiday Inn on the way. It was, a few days' travel. They had to bring all the food with them, too. So we're talking probably 30, 40, 50 people on this trip to be able to support Naaman going to Israel to become healed. So this was a big thing. So again, Naaman comes back and he's, I'm sure, overjoyed and he's changed. We don't know how long Naaman has had his leprosy. We don't know if that leprosy caused him pain. We can assume that he sought healing in Syria. We can assume that he went and prayed to his god, Ramon. You know, he mentions the god's name later on. I'm sure he went to that little g god, but no solution, no healing. His leprosy changed. Now, we know from history that Syria and Israel were typically not friends. Here's some background, and we started some in Bible class. In 1 Kings 15, Asa, the king of Judah, makes an allegiance with Ben-Hadad, the first king of Syria, so they can go against Baasha, king of Israel. You know, Baasha was making inroads into Judah, and so instead of relying on God, Asa went and made an allegiance with Syria. Then in 1 Kings 19, God instructs Elijah to anoint Hazael, king of Syria, and Elisha as his replacement prophet. So it's interesting that Elijah went and anointed the Syrian king. In 1 Kings 20, the Lord brings a great victory to King Ahab over Ben-Hadad II of Syria. And clearly, if you go and read 1 Kings 20, it's the Lord who caused that victory. It wasn't anything that Ahab did. And then in 1 Kings 22, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joins Ahab, king of Israel, to fight against Syria again. But this time, Israel is defeated and King Ahab is killed. So now, for a few years, the Syrians are in charge. And it's during this time that Syria made raids into Israel and captured the little maid. So here, Syria was the superior power. But here, Naaman goes to Israel asking for help for healing his leprosy. It's probably a little bit embarrassing to go to somebody you recently conquered to try to find a solution to your problem. But then, as we read, Naaman is healed. And he can't deny what happened to him. You know, if it was on his arm, he looks and says, it's gone. There is no blemish. There is nothing there. And it says, as clean as a little child's flesh. So Naaman goes back to Elisha with all his company. All the mules full of the gifts, etc., etc. And it says in verse 15, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Naaman, a Gentile, experienced the living God work in his life. And we all need to experience the living God in our lives. It may not be as miraculous as Naaman, but we also must humble ourselves, as Naaman did, and submit to him. Then we can experience the living God. As it says, as the psalmist said in Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, for the living God. And our souls daily need to thirst for the living God. And as another hymn writer wrote, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. After Naaman's declaration of faith, he offers Elisha a blessing. That's the end of verse 15. That blessing really means the word gift, a present. And in verse 5 it was described, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. In 24, somebody evaluated what that gift was worth, and then it was worth $2.5 million, probably more in 2025. And it was customary in biblical times when you went to a man of God and asked for some help, that you would bring them a gift, a blessing. Remember when Saul, the son of Kish, was searching for his father's animals? They went different places, and eventually they said, let's go to Samuel and we'll ask him. And Saul said, but I don't have a present to bring to him. And his servant said to him, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. That was just the custom of the time. And then even in the New Testament, in Acts 9, Philip was preaching. Many were preaching about Jesus, and many heard the good news, were convicted and baptized, including a man named Simon. And then when Peter came down to Samaria, he laid his hands on the converts, and they received the Holy Spirit. Simon was in awe of what he saw Peter do, and he offered Peter money to give him the ability to do that. And Peter was aghast at that, and he told Simon, you need to repent. You can't buy God's gifts with money. You know, and then Simon asked for forgiveness and prayer, and he asked Peter to pray that he would be forgiven. And the prophet Micah mentions this in Micah 3:11. He condemns the people for this. Her lepers pronounce judgment for a bribe, her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. Clearly, that was not the right way to live. So even though it was a common practice to give a monetary gift to a man of God, Elisha refused Naaman's gift. Paraphrasing what Elisha said in verse 16, I stand before you, Naaman, but I do not serve you. I stand before the Lord, all capital letters, Yahweh. I serve him alone. If Elisha had accepted that gift from Naaman, it would appear that Naaman was healed because of the gift. Why was Naaman healed? Simply because that is what God wanted to do. It was God's act of mercy and grace to a Gentile man. Naaman did not deserve either mercy or grace. Who healed Naaman? It wasn't Elisha. It was the Lord. Elisha was an instrument, and in essence, the servant that told Naaman what to do was the instrument, but clearly it was the Lord that healed Naaman. In the same way, we do not deserve God's mercy or grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus extends his mercy and grace to anyone and everyone that acknowledges that he is the Lord and Savior of all. That he, Jesus, died for our sins. When Elisha refused the gift, Naaman makes an interesting request. He asks for 2 mule loads of dirt to take back to his home in Syria. Verse 17, and Naaman said, "For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord." Again, all capital letters. Naaman was convinced that only the Lord, Yahweh, was the true and real God. All other little g gods were simply idols. He wanted the dirt as a place to offer sacrifices to the Lord when he returned to Syria. And it's interesting, in those days, people believed that each nation, land, had their own God. Israel, it was the Lord. Syria, it was Ramon. Moab had their God, etc. Each land had their own God. But we know that is not the real case. The Lord, Yahweh, is the God of everywhere. Wherever we might be, he is still the Lord God. He is not limited to a place or location. Then Naaman makes another request in verse 18. When I go back to Syria, part of my responsibility will to be go into the house of the Syrian god Ramon. And I know that he is not a real god. But that's my responsibility, to go in with the king. I pray that Yahweh, the Lord, will forgive me when I do this. And what was Elisha's response? Shalom. Go in peace. And that's all we need. We need peace. We need shalom in our lives too. And we can receive peace when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord that healed Naaman, and it's the Lord that offered Naaman mercy and grace. He deserved neither mercy nor grace. As a result, Naaman made a profession of faith. No one deserves mercy and grace. But thankfully, in 2025, God still continues to offer mercy and grace to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. They are a free gift. We need to accept that every day of our lives. Let's conclude with hymn number 220 in the Apostolic Christian Hymnal, all verses. 220, all verses.
we thank God and thankful that we have His Word to see what has done in by God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and we thank Him for that. And this is one of the miracles that we see in the Bible, that that God healed a man of his leprosy, and this is really a great thing. And we might think that we don't see very many great things like this day, but there's also some things in here that almost prevented this miracle from happening. When Elisha came to Naaman, he just sent someone else to tell Naaman that this was what he should do, and he should wash in the Jordan River. And then Naaman was thinking, well, this should have been like a great event, that this a big crowd should be gathered and see this, or we should go to a stadium and do it in a stadium and have this done. And so he didn't want to do it. But then his servant said to him that what he's just telling you to do this simple thing. If he had said something great to do, or something difficult, or something that would be out of the ordinary, you would have done that, wouldn't you? And so without this servant doing that, this miracle might not have occurred. That, and even before that, the little girl who was taken captive and was like a servant in the household, and she was the one who said that there's this prophet Elisha who can do this, who can heal Naaman of his leprosy. And so if she hadn't said anything, if she just knew that in her mind but hadn't said anything to anyone, because I'm just a little servant girl, that I was taken captive and now I'm nothing in this. And sometimes we think that also we aren't really anybody special or anything special. But sometimes it's like these little things that hinge on something being done, or that's the way that the Lord had brought it, and we see that. So if we think we're a nobody and can't do any of these things, but we can do something for the Lord, even if we give our lives to the Lord and pray to the Lord, we're doing something. And I thank God for that He would see all of these little things and all of these minute details that God would provide the way. And so we thank you for the lessons this morning, and let's arise for our prayer. Our Father and our God, we are thankful that we can come into your house of worship and to hear your word and to hear of your power and your might. And we are thankful that you are still a powerful God, that you are looking at that humanity, even that some have gone astray and some are against you, that your word would be preached and that your word would go out in its power and its glory, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for the ways that you have worked in the lives of these people here, that we would preach that word and that we would make sure that word would go out to show that your power and your might and your love for us is still available to this day. And Lord, we just thank you and honor you for that. And Lord, as we are about to partake of a meal, we ask that your blessing would be upon the food that we would partake of, and that we would go through the day thinking of those things that we have heard and thinking of the mighty God that we have to lead us and direct us and to give us salvation because you have sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sin. And Lord, we just want to praise you and honor you, for we do it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.